By way of introduction tonight, for those of you that maybe this is your first time at Mount Zion Baptist Church, I'm Pastor Starr. May I say that we're thrilled to have you be here on this special night in our summer where we get to share with you what the children have learned all week long. Let me say this, we take your children very seriously. The fact of the matter is we know that in a day and age where there's lots of things going on with children, and it's a little bit scary sometimes to put your children in somebody else's hands. We understand that. We try to have a high adult or worker-to-child ratio so that your children get the proper attention while they're here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. We also do background checks on all of our workers that are serving your children this week to ensure that safety is a high priority to us. And we love your children. Mount Zion Baptist Church loves children and loves families. And so we're glad that your children have been able to join us, and we're glad that you're with us tonight. If you're looking for a church home, we're not a perfect church. We're made up of people. And people have problems, don't we? All of us have problems. But we're a church that loves the Word of God and loves people. And we're working with families and helping families to grow in their knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of God, their knowledge of how to raise children, how to have homes, not just houses, but homes where love and mercy and kindness are expressed one to another, and where kids can be trained up to have things built into their lives like Christian character and living for Jesus Christ and those things. And so let me invite you to come to our church. Our services are on Sunday. We have three services on Sunday. We have one service on Wednesday. Throughout the year, you'll find that we have, we're just finishing up Children's Bible Institute on Wednesday nights for the children, starting in September. We have a full-blown program called Master's Club that we use, where your children can earn vests and badges and all kinds of things as they learn the Bible, they learn about God, they learn scripture verses like they did this week, they learn from their teachers and do good things to other for other people, and all of those things. And so I just wanted to say a word to you about that. We also have a teen program, and though the teens weren't up here this week, there were some exciting things that happened with the teenagers. Things like blowing a raw egg at each other through it. You talk to them about that, you can find out about that. Or one day they had these goggles, and they had Vaseline on them, and then they had to go dip their head in, what was that? Anybody remember? What? Cotton balls, that's right. And then they ran around five times in circles where they couldn't see and ran. It was crazy. But they also learned the Word of God this week in their classes. Thank the Lord for all the teachers. And so I'm sure Brother Hendricks will say some things at the end. But I just was thinking today, you know, you have people preparing refreshments tonight. You have sound men that have set up lights and the sound. And bus workers that have gotten up early to get on the buses and bring kids in every day. And you have people that brought in refreshments. And you have people that have canvassed. And you have people that have put the stage together. And people that have made sure that the building's taken care of so that we can have nice facilities to meet in. And you have had prayer warriors praying throughout the week for safety and health and protection. And for young people to hear the gospel and be saved. You had helpers that came in throughout the week. And people that provided animals. We had an animal zoo here. Throughout the week, all kinds of different animals, and I probably missed a category somewhere. But boy, church done a great job. And I just want to commend our church tonight on a wonderful week of EBS and caring for children. When asked what your favorite or most loved story of the Bible is, one or many of you may say tonight, "Well, that's easy, preacher. Noah's Ark. I love the story of Noah's Ark." A couple years ago, I had the privilege to go out to Williamstown, Kentucky, and see the ark that Ken Ham had built out in Williamstown. Boy, I had a picture in my mind of how large the ark was, but I never imagined it to be that big. When we arrived, there's just a wow factor that you say, "I can't believe the ark was this large." They actually build it off the measurements that were recorded in Scripture. It's a familiar story. It's one of the stories that's taught at maybe the earliest years of our learning. If you grew up in church, you probably heard the story of Noah's Ark somewhere. And remember maybe even a teacher that taught you that story.
Yet, sometimes, those most popular stories we learned as children can become so familiar that we forget to dig into the truths that are behind them that God may want to show us later in life. And so, I thought it appropriate, in a week that's dealing with down on the farm and all kinds of animals, to preach tonight on Noah's Ark, the Ark of Safety. As we have lineup each week, each day here at Bible school, we have the kids line up like we did tonight. And then we dismiss them to go over by the animal zoo. And over there, there was a goat, a couple goats, and geese, and sheep, and a calf, and rabbits, and so on. I watched the kids go over there and gather around all of those different animals and maybe try to pet one here or there. Then one day, Evan brought in his ducklings, and we had ducklings in the back. And then we had miniature rabbits that were here. And Emery brought those things, and I wish he would, though, because now my girls want a miniature rabbit. What are we going to do with a miniature rabbit? But we had a lot of animals. And as I was thinking about this subject, you know, those animals were preserved when God said, put them two by two on the ark. The flood destroyed everything outside the ark. God preserved the animals and preserved eight people in the ark of safety. We find the story of Noah's ark in Genesis chapter 6 through Genesis chapter 9. In scripture, the events of Genesis 6 took place approximately 6,000 years ago, not millions of years ago. This is a part of history. There's archaeological and geological evidence that support the biblical account of a worldwide flood. What God said in His Word is not just a story or a myth. It is a historical event that took place here on this world. And so, beyond the animals in the ark, we understand that the reason that the worldwide flood came was because the earth was corrupt. Folks, if I could give you a little history lesson tonight in Genesis, we would find out that God created man, and then God created woman, and He created them without sin. But the Bible says in the Garden of Eden that they chose to sin against God. That is, God had some boundaries. God had some laws that He asked them to live by, and they broke those laws. As we study the first five chapters of Genesis, we find that the sin of those two people got progressively worse. By the time that we get to Genesis chapter 6, if we read verses 11 and 12, the Bible says this: the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I want you to understand that according to the Bible, men were corrupt in this passage. In fact, the Bible says that they imagined only evil in their hearts continually. God saw all this taking place. He saw sin growing and corruptness growing in the world. And because of that, the Bible says God would send a worldwide flood. Marriages were corrupt in this passage. There were unrighteous people, people without God who didn't believe in God, that were marrying those that believed in God. If you study Genesis chapter 6. Their manner of living was corrupt. In fact, the Bible uses the word violence. Do you know that God's against violence? God's against domestic violence. He's against men beating on their wives. God's against violence where somebody murders the life of the innocent, whether that be a baby that we call abortion, or whether it be a homicide in York City or out here in the country. God hates violence. But violence had come to be the norm at the time in which Genesis 6 is being recorded. Their manner of living was corrupt. Their minds were corrupt. Does it sound like anything today? Do you think that our world is corrupt today? Do you think that men are imagining evil only continually today? Read your local newspaper. Watch the news. Watch the evening news. And you know what? You find out about corruptness that's happening all over our world today. And I want you to understand something that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6. When God saw all of that, He repented that He had even created mankind. And He said this: I'm going to send a flood. And the question is, does God really mean what He says? Because that was the question in Noah's day. If we can go to the next slide, please. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Let's go back one slide if we can. Let's go back one slide. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's the deal. God warned Noah. God told Noah, Noah, a flood's coming. Now, before Noah did anything, you have to realize it had never rained upon the earth at that point, let alone a worldwide flood that had come to the earth. Noah had not seen rain, let alone a flood. But the Bible says that Noah heard the warning of God. And guess what? He believed the warning of God. Listen, if you're going to be in the ark of safety forever, that is, you're going to be saved from the judgment of God to come that the Bible warns about, then, my friend, you are going to have to believe the warning of God. If we go to the next slide, we'll find the Bible says in Genesis 6, verse number 17, and behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Notice that Noah was warned by God, but he was invited into the ark. Hear me tonight. I need your attention. I really want you to think through the truths that I'm going to present to you tonight about the ark of safety. The truth is that every one of us is born a sinner. And because of our sin, friend, we have a judgment that's pronounced against us. There's a warning in God's word about that. Because God cannot look upon sin, God cannot allow sin into heaven. God's a holy God. And our sin offends a holy God. So because of our sin, there is a judgment that's connected to our sin. But watch this. God paves a way and invites you into an ark of safety to avoid judgment in your life for your sin, like Noah avoided the judgment in his day. But watch this. Noah had to believe the warning. The first lesson that we learn, if we can go to slide number 4, is Noah's faith meant that he believed the warning of God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Listen, folks, God's word is full of warnings. The Bible has given us a number of warnings. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. There was a warning, the flood's coming. A lot of people scoffed it off, laughed at it, scorned about it, made fun of Noah for building this huge boat. That flood isn't coming. A lot of people had no faith in what God said. But Noah did. Faith means that we believe the warnings of God. There's another warning. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 19, it says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by fire, by the ark. Hear me. Noah and many others could have been in the ark if they would have believed the warning. Now, folks, that's back 6,000 years ago, very real situation, dealing with a worldwide flood. We're 6,000 years ahead to the present. And there's a warning today to the present. The warning is found in Luke chapter number 13. It says this, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Here's another warning that God has sounded, and he sounded forth to every one of us. Every person living today, because of sin, he says, except you repent, except you change your mind about your sin and realize that you need Jesus to save your soul, ye shall perish. Ye shall go into eternity without God. You shall live forever separated from God in eternity after this life is over. Except you perish, God's a God of love. You know, He didn't look down at man's sin and 1 second later say they're off the map. Wipe them all out. The Bible says here God is long-suffering. The Bible in Genesis chapter 6 records the fact that he waited for 120 years before he brought judgment, before the warning became a reality. My friend, I want you to understand something tonight. Every warning that God sounds is real. There are no false warnings. We have an alarm system here in our church. And from time to time, something will happen that will trigger one of our fire alarms. In fact, Haystack Hammocks got a phone call this week, I think at 3:30 in the morning. And the alarm, something had gone wrong with the alarm system, and they were notifying him. It was a false alarm. There was no fire here. Most of the time, that's the case. But we take every alarm seriously, don't we? Every time the alarm goes off, guess what? The fire company is required to come out and check our buildings because they take every alarm seriously. I want you to understand tonight that warnings from God are serious and they're real. If we can go to the next slide, there's a story about a boat. Anybody know that boat's name? The Titanic. April 14th of 1912. The Titanic was in the ocean. Early that morning, the captain was supposed to have a practice run of using all the lifeboats. He canceled that run early that morning. Little did he know that by the next morning, early in the morning, 1,500 people would lose their lives as that ship that seemed indestructible sank. If you've ever done any research on the Titanic, you'll find this. There were 7 warnings that day that were ignored. There were 7 other ships. There were other people watching out for the Titanic. And they ignored those warnings. In fact, at 10:55 p.m. that night on April the 14th, the nearby Californian radios the Titanic, quote, say, "Old man, we are stopped and surrounded by ice." As annoyed Phillips responds, "Shut up, shut up. I am busy. I am working Cape Race." And ignored. Were they real warnings that night? Absolutely they were. Because the Titanic hit an iceberg. And just within a matter of hours, 1,500 people lost their lives. 700 were able to take lifeboats. 1,500 lost their lives. Brethren, I want you to see tonight that he took the warning seriously. Let's go to the next slide if we can. Genesis chapter number 6. I want you to see in Genesis chapter number 6 that the Bible says here, in verse number 3, and the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My friend, God's not always going to strive with man. That means that God gives a warning. And at some point in time, that warning is going to become a reality. There's a warning about death. There's a warning that the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's a warning. What I earn for my sin and what you earn for your sin is eternal death, separated from God in a real place called hell. God sounds a warning because he's a loving God. He warns us of the consequences of our sin, what we're going to pay for our sin at the end of this life. But on the backside of that verse it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Son. You know what we find with God's warnings? That God always has a way of escape from the coming judgment that God's going to bring. He did it for Noah, and my friend, he will do it for you in your life if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He strives with our spirit. He brings about conviction, a heaviness about our sin load, a guilt about what we've done and what we've said and the things that we've been involved in and the places that we've gone and the lies that we've told and the swear words that we've used and the cheating that we've done on others and the lying and the extortion and the drinking and the smoking and all the sins that the Bible says we're guilty of sin, my friend. That sin brings about God's warning, just like it did in the life of Noah, to where his spirit begins to strive with us. Let's go to the next slide and then the next slide. I want you to see something else about Noah. First of all, his faith meant that he believed God's warning. Let's go to the next slide if we can. Secondly, the saving of his house was important to Noah. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11 on the slide. By faith, Noah being warned of God, watch this phrase now, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Why? To the saving of his house. Noah's great concern, parents, hear me tonight. I've got to have your ears on this truth. Noah's great concern was for his family. Not only was Noah making a decision that was an individual decision, by the way, every person that enters the ark of safety, that is, you're saved through Jesus Christ, it is an individual decision. But Noah knew this, he could lead the way for his children to see that he believed God and that they should believe God.
Amen.
Noah was concerned about his house. Listen, I think that if we would interview parents tonight across this building and we would ask you, what's your number one concern in this life? I believe that many of you might say parents, but most of you would probably say children. My children. What are my children going to be like 10 years, 20 years from now? What kind of world are they going to live in? What are they going to face? Are they going to make it? Noah was concerned about his kids. But watch this. Most parents today have concerns for their children, but only with what their eyes can see. Now watch this. Most parents are concerned whether or not their kid's going to have a good job. That's what their eyes can see. Most parents are going to be concerned with whether or not their kids are going to be able to live in a good neighborhood and be safe and not be murdered for something in their life. They're concerned about what they can see. But watch this. Noah was concerned about what he could not see yet. He was concerned about the warning, the judgment of God that was coming upon the world and that would affect his own family. Dear parent, would you get concerned tonight about what you can't see? I'm talking about your kid growing up without Jesus. I'm talking about your kid growing up without a church where they're taught right from wrong, where they build good relationships with other Christians that are trying to do right in this wicked world. I'm talking about looking at what you can't see and seeing that your kid can lay his head on the pillow at night and go to sleep peacefully because he knows he's received Jesus Christ as a Savior. Watch this. I'm talking about your kid being able to lay their head on the pillow at night and going to bed peacefully because mommy and daddy have been saved. Are you concerned about what they can't see? Because they can't see it all. You know what this week was about? This week was about helping boys and girls to understand that Jesus died for their sin and that they could escape judgment. They could have a home in heaven. They could be forgiven of all their sin. And my friend, it's important to our children. But parents, hear me. It's important to you. It's important to your life. They need somebody that they can follow that says, you know what? I believe what God's Word says. I'm going to follow what God's Word says. I'm going to believe that Jesus is the only way for me to go to heaven and be saved from my sin. I'm going to put my own faith in Jesus Christ. Noah was concerned about his family. May I move quickly? There's another truth here. I want to close. The truth is this. There was only one door into the ark. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 16. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. When the ark was opened, it was opened by one door. And that door was shut by God. It's a beautiful picture in the New Testament where Jesus says this in John chapter 10, verse number 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. My friend, the way into the ark of safety tonight in your life, I don't care if you're a dad, a mom, a grandpa, a grandma, a boy, a girl, a teenager, I don't care who you are, there's only one door to the ark of safety. And that door is Jesus. The only way a person has safety for eternity. I'm talking about heaven instead of hell. I'm talking about eternal life forever. Saved. Doesn't have to go through the great tribulation that God has pronounced upon this world that's coming. By the way, it could come at any time. Only the rapture has to take place for it to come. The way is Jesus. The way is the cross, my friend. It's the only thing that has dealt with your sin in totality is the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1, verse number 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Listen, Jesus came for your soul. Jesus came so that you could avoid and escape the judgment. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, the question is asked, how shall we escape so great a punishment? How shall we neglect salvation and escape the judgment that is to come? And the answer is, there's no answer for that if you neglect Christ. You say, preacher, what does it mean to take Christ? Does it mean that I pray every night? It has nothing to do with taking Christ. There's a lot of people that pray that have no relationship with God. They've never dealt with their sin through Jesus Christ. But they pray every night. Does it mean, preacher, that, you know, I had a loved one die a number of years ago and I was at a funeral and, you know, I got goosebumps up and down my back that God was really doing something in my life? Listen, that has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with being saved. You say, preacher, then what is it? It's when you come to a conscious understanding that you're a sinner and you're hopeless without Jesus Christ. And you turn to God and you say, God, I believe you sent your son Jesus to die in my place. And Lord, I receive that sacrifice as the payment for my sin. I believe your warning, but I also believe that Jesus died for me. My friend, when God shut the door, there were no more chances.
That's right.
Think about this. Noah preached. Noah tried to tell people in his community, there's a flood coming. Listen, you can escape. You can come into the ark. Believe God. Believe God's warnings. And then I tried to imagine those people I was out studying this week. They had never seen rain before. And here comes the rain. And the door is shut. I wonder if they went up to the ark and trying to find maybe a way in. Maybe I could just get in still. Maybe there's a way. Maybe there's hope. But there's one door. And God shut that door. And when God shuts the door, my friend, there's no more chances. My friend, there are two ways that God shuts the door in our lives. Number one is through physical death. When somebody dies, watch this. The door of salvation, the ark of safety, the door closes shut. The other is when Jesus comes back in the clouds. In fact, in the New Testament, the Bible describes that Jesus will come back as in the days of Noah, when people were eating and drinking and being merry and going on with life like nothing was ever going to happen. And they were wicked and they were corrupt. And brethren, we are living in that day today. The Bible says the Son of Man shall come back. And when Jesus comes back in the clouds, believers go up with Him to be with Him in the clouds forever. The Bible says this, so shall they ever be with the Lord. But the question is, what happens to the rest of them? What happens to people who didn't take the ark of safety when they had a chance? Who didn't believe on Christ? Who didn't believe the warning? And friend, they go through judgment. And the rest of eternity is torture and separation from God. There's one door. The door God shuts. My friend, tonight, as far as I can understand, the door is open to every single individual. The ark of safety, who is Jesus, is reaching out to parents and juniors and teenagers and saying, the ark of safety is open. Why don't you come in through Jesus? Why don't you believe on Jesus? Say, preacher, how does that work? It sounds kind of scary. I want to make it very simple for you tonight. I have an invitation just a moment. In that invitation, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Okay, Candace is going to come to the piano. She's going to begin to play. And an invitation is simply this. We're inviting you to come forward. And if you're a man or a boy, a teen boy, we're going to have a man from our church show you how to be saved tonight. You say, preacher, what does all that entail? Well, we have to understand we're sinners. We have to understand we cannot save ourselves from our sins. And then faith requires action. What action, preacher? Well, for Noah, it was build the ark. He showed his faith. by building the ark. He was moved with fear, but it brought about faith. For somebody to be saved in this day and age, it means to call out to God, pray a simple prayer, believing the message that you've heard tonight, believing Jesus is your only answer, and asking Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. You say, preacher, will that take like 2 hours? No, it'll take about 5 minutes for you to deal with something, for you to know before you leave tonight that you know what? I'm in the ark of saving. You've got to believe God's warning. You've got to understand there's one door and only one. You've got to understand tonight that faith requires action. Sir, man, if you wouldn't do it for anybody else, can't you see that it's important to your family? Mom? Dad? To know Jesus as Savior? To lead them in the right way according to the Bible? Noah's greatest concern was his family.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,